Good evening. Welcome to our Sunday night Bible study. Tonight we're going to talk about six action steps to combat fear. Regardless of who you are, fear, anxiety, and worry are felt by everyone in all walks of life. No one is immune to fear, anxiety, worry, and fear. Learning to successfully navigate these emotions is an essential life skill. Fear in and of itself is not bad. God created fear. Fear has a purpose. Fear alerts us to danger when we're out in the field and a snake comes up. It's natural to fear a snake before he bites you. God gave us fear. He did not give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us the ability to fear things to protect us from things. So, why does the Bible warn us to not fear? Well, we are to fear things that are going to cause us harm, but God did not give us a spirit of fear. Like all creation, it can be used properly or improperly. Improper or unhealthy fear torments us with the futility of worry. It paralyzes us and takes a physical toll. So how do we practically live without unhealthy fear? I would suggest remembering what God's Word tells us about fear in our text tonight. Open your Bibles tonight to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and let's read verses 1 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and let's read verses 1 through 7. Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Jesus Christ, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of thy hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come together tonight to study a portion of your word. And help us to see that unhealthy fear is not what you gave us. You gave us a fear to be able to avoid things that are dangerous, but, Lord, you did not give us that unhealthy fear that causes us to worry, causes anxiety in our hearts, and causes all the problems that we face. Lord, help us to see that tonight as we go through our study. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen. Proverbs 31 verse 25 describes the ideal godly woman as one who is clothed in strength and dignity, laughing and smiling at the future. This is what it says. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Now, how can we become men and women who laugh without fear of the future also? Even when life doesn't seem happy or funny. In 2021, I like to tell you a little story about my fear. In 2021, I faced fear when I was falsely diagnosed with prostate cancer. It was one of the most difficult years of my life. Yet through it all, God taught me 6 actionable steps to combat fear using the constant reminder of Proverbs 31:25 as my guide. So let's explore 6 actionable steps we can implement together to become men and women who laugh and smile at the future. The first action step is to remember worry is a choice. When all is said and done, worry is a choice we make. We can worry about things or we can take things as they come. We need not worry because God has us in His hand. God protects us. God sends angels to protect us. God always is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us, so we need not worry. Worry is a choice. It takes just as much effort, if not less, to pause and pray about something as it does to worry about something. To choose to trust God instead of fear or worry is a choice. In 2021, I had that cancer scare. I would love to tell you I chose not to worry, but I didn't. Instead, I chose to ruminate on my fears all night long. I robbed myself of an entire night's sleep for nothing. In no way did my sleepless night have any effect on the outcome. Worry is futile. We are not God. We cannot will an outcome through worry. Jesus warned in Luke chapter 12, verse 25, "And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature 1 cubit?" In other words, Jesus is saying, why worry? You can't change the outcome. Why worry? I've got you in my hands. Why worry? Fast forward 1 year, faced with that cancer scare, yet this time, armed with lessons I learned, I set out to tackle fear differently. I knew I had a choice. I chose faith over fear. And sure enough, when I went to another specialist, he found out that the first doctor was wrong and I did not have prostate cancer. He read the scale wrong. He did my PSA, but he read it wrong. I prayed every day, "Lord, just give me an answer so I can stop worrying." Assuming answers were the solution, through this prayer, God showed me I needed peace, not answers. Answers are not always synonymous with peace. Even with answers, peace can evade us, especially if the answers are not what we hope for. That cancer scare became a positive diagnosis. Having an answer meant more unknowns. What were the next steps? What was the outlook? Peace does not come from answers. So I made another appointment with the specialist for 6 months down the road to check my PSA levels, which had previously been 8.5, which showed I had prostate cancer, and it had dropped down to 1.5. Peace comes from trusting God. It is a result of surrendering our fear to God. Peace is not determined by our circumstances, but by our faith. The second action step is to remember God's faithfulness. One of the greatest weapons to combat fear is to reflect on God's faithfulness in the past. Has God answered my prayers in the past? Has God provided my every need in the past? Has God healed me in the past? When have we felt God's love the most? When have we experienced God's goodness? Mentally answering these questions fills our faith bucket as we look ahead to the unknown. When I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, I was 1 year into a new ministry position as interim pastor of a church. 1 year of speaking about God's loving us more than we can imagine, answering prayers and doing miracles. when I perceived as a season of encouraging others was also a season of filling my faith bucket, reminding me of God is trustworthy. What concerns us about Him? What concerns us about God answering prayers? What concerns us about God being able to heal? My friend, what grieves us grieves God. And we need to remember, God is faithful in everything. I remember years ago, me and my wife were hit by a train at a crossing. God healed our bodies from that train wreck. And when I got this cancer scare, I remembered that God had healed our bodies completely. He had taken our bodies, mended them, made them whole again. Even getting hit by a train at the Martin Crossing, we survived and we were made completely whole. So, I remember God's faithfulness, and I remembered God had healed me. And I knew God could do the same thing with this cancer scare. And sure enough, I had faith that God would heal me, and my PSAs dropped from 8.5 to 1.5 at the next doctor's appointment, which showed no sign of cancer at all. The third action step is cultivate perspective. Whatever we're currently facing, it is important to have perspective. Life is seasonal, as we see in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Every season has a beginning and an end. Even our hardest seasons will end eventually, whether in this lifetime or in heaven. Jesus Himself had perspective when Paul wrote in Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, Jesus had to have perspective when He went to the cross. He had perspective that God would raise Him from the dead. He had perspective that God would not abandon Him completely, even though He abandoned Him and turned His back on Him when He was on the cross. And Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus knew that God was going to resurrect Him. He knew that He would once more sit at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So, we can have perspective. Jesus knew His time on earth was limited. He knew His ministry and suffering would have a beginning and an end. But most importantly, Jesus knew what lay ahead. His seat at the right hand of God as our mediator would take place in the future. Whatever we're currently facing, it will not last forever. This is just our current season of life, whether it's good times or whether it's bad times. This perspective can be a source of gratitude during good seasons, encouragement during difficult seasons, and a reminder of the ultimate hope of heaven when we die. The fourth action step is be prepared. Be prepared. What can we do spiritually, mentally, and physically today to set us up for success tomorrow? Spiritually, what are we doing today to grow our faith? Are we reading God's Word? Are we spending time with God in prayer? We can be assured with God nothing is wasted when we invest in our spiritual growth. We may not see the fruition of the seeds of our faith we sow today until the tough times hit. What God is teaching us today may be preparing us for the future, so we need to be faithfully pursue God in prayer and study His Word. Physically, what can we do today to set us up for greater success in the future. Establishing an emergency fund to remove the stress of unexpected expenses. Estate planning. Meeting with financial advisor. Prioritizing our physical health. Scheduling a doctor's appointment. Eating healthy. Exercising regularly. And drinking more water. These actions can be small and simple, but they set us up for future success. Lastly, what can we do mentally? Mentally, are we setting ourselves up for success? Life is hard. We need to build ourselves up. Surrounding ourselves with friends and family, and maybe even a counselor at times who support and encourage us. Listen, my friend, participating in activities that bring us joy and contribute to our spiritual growth, like finding a church home, Bible study, or a small group study. Mentally, we also need to do personal evaluation. How am I feeling and why? How would I like to feel? Do the two align? I'll say that again. How am I feeling? And why? Are you feeling down? Are you feeling frustrated? Well, why? Why are you not trusting God with your outcome? Why are you not trusting God with your life? How would you like to feel? Would you like to feel joyous instead of defeated? Would you like to feel joyous instead of down? Well, do the two align? If not, what can we do to move towards how we would like to feel? Is there anything we have been avoiding, ignoring? We need to deal with it before it deals with us. We can't tackle being prepared mentally either without acknowledging that many Christians struggle with mental health. That is okay. Struggling with mental health does not make us less than any Christian. We are so incredibly blessed to have modern medicine, therapy, and solutions to so many ailments. When I thought I had cancer, I went to doctors to get treatment and healing. God gave us modern medicine. If you're struggling with hopelessness and feel like you're stuck in the pits, get help. See a counselor. Talk to a doctor. Maybe medicine is what you need. Maybe it's a change of diet or self-care. Whatever it is, don't battle this alone without any help. The fifth action step is claim God's promises. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says this, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." Well, for starters, we can pray Scripture back to God. For instance, every believer has the promise, the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and notice the third thing, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit isn't a list to make us feel less than or highlight our lacking. It is the list of fruits God has promised to us as believers. So claim these promises in prayer. Are you struggling with being joyful or feeling peace? Pray this scripture back to God specifically claiming those promises. I'll give you another promise that you can repeat back to God. All things work together for the good to those that love God, to those are called according to His purpose. This is a promise that God has given us that we can pray back to Him and tell Him, "God, I know You told me all things work together. Work this out to my good. I know You told me that I had the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, and peace, why are you not giving me peace? Ask God that question. God will be more than happy to bring that peace into your life if you'll just ask Him. Jesus Himself said, I give you a peace. I give you a joy that the world cannot give you. He said, I came that you might have a life abundantly. So pray those prayers back to God. Now, pray this scripture back to God, specifically claiming the promises He's made. Remember too, just like worry, being joyful is a choice. We might be facing very difficult circumstances at the moment. A loss of a loved one, for instance. An unwanted diagnosis. Whatever we are facing, we don't have to be joyful for our circumstance, but we can be joyful in our circumstance. I'll say that again. Whatever you're facing in life, we don't have to be joyful for the circumstance, but we can be joyful in and through our circumstance. God knows what you're going through. God knows what you're facing in life. God knows everything about you. So trust God to work things out to your good. Trust God that He is always with you. Trust God that He's going to make you and bring you through that problem that you're facing. Repeat these prayers back to God. Repeat that prayer that all things, good things, bad things, indifferent things, everything, all things work together, what? For the good. Not for the bad, not for the indifferent, not for the chaos of life. God says all things work together for the good. Listen, I lost my wife in January, but God has given me a peace like you wouldn't imagine. God has given me a peace that I know that she's in heaven with Jesus. He's given me a peace that I know she's around the throne of God. Listen, my friend, being disgusted, being worrisome, being fearful is a choice. You don't have to face these problems of life alone. God will help you through everything that you face. Now, the sixth action step, serve others. When we are struggling with worry and fear, we are completely self-focused. Serving others interrupts this pattern. It gets us out of the heads as we look to the needs of others above our own. Anyone can serve. We simply begin by asking, how can I serve or encourage others? It may be as simple as a text, a phone call, or a note to someone you love and someone that's in trouble. Armed with these six tools, let's actively combat fear. Remember, worry is a choice. God has been faithful to us in the past. He is faithful still. He will be faithful in our future. Remember that. God has been faithful to bring you through problems in the past, and He will bring you through that problem in the future. God never changes. We change. We're different every day. God never changes. God's promises are as faithful today as He made to the Israelites when He told them, I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you an expected end and not of evil. God knew exactly what He was going to do to the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. He knew He was going to deliver them. And thankfully, He brought them across the Red Sea. He drowned the Egyptian army in the sea. God took care of the Israelites. He took them through the wilderness. He fed them with manna from heaven and with water from the rock. God provided for them. All the 40 years they traveled in the wilderness, God met their needs. So remember that. God is still the same God. He still can meet your needs. He still can bring you worry-free life. He still can do what He did to the Israeli people. I know the Israelis, they worried a lot. They were always, when they came out of Egypt, they said, Moses, why did you take us out of Egypt? Let us go back. We had food. We had shelter in Egypt. Moses said, trust me. Trust me that I'm going to take you to the promised land. God is faithful. He's still faithful. And choosing to be worry-free is a choice. Life is full of seasons. This too shall pass. Be prepared spiritually, physically, and mentally. Claim God's promises in your life. Shift your focus and your thoughts from self-focused fear to others-minded service. When we do, we will live bold lives hindered by unhealthy fear as we smile and laugh at the future. These six action steps I've shared with you tonight will help you deal with fear if you'll just remember them and take them to heart. Remember, I'll tell you one more time so that you can write them down. Worry is a choice. We have a choice. We can worry or we can trust God. Worry is a choice. Remember God's faithfulness. God has been faithful in the past. He'll be faithful in the future. Remember what God's done for you in the past and focus on what God can do with you in the future. Cultivate perspective. Always remember that Jesus had that perspective, that even though He would die on the cross, He would resurrect and He would have His throne in heaven once again. The fourth thing, be prepared. Always be prepared for problems. Be prepared that things, unfortunate things, are going to happen. Chaos is going to happen in your life. Be spiritually, physically, and mentally prepared. Always be prepared. Claim God's promises. That, my friend, is the most important thing we can do. Always remember what God's Word says. God said, my children shall never go begging bread. God's not going to let you starve. God's not going to let you do the things that would harm you. God is always going to protect you. Remember God's promises. Remember that all things work together for the good to those that love God and those that call according to His purpose. Remember that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Remember that fear is a choice. Remember that chaotic life is a choice. And the sixth step, I want to remind you, is serve others. When we get our mind off of our troubles and we focus on other people, that will help us get our mind off of our fear. Always remember that God is there with you through every stage of life, helping you to do what you need to do for His kingdom, and He is not going to let you fall from your salvation experience. He's always going to be there. So remember, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for those that are here tonight to hear this message. We pray, Father, that You will bless them for coming out tonight. We ask You, Father, that You would help us be a church that does not give in to fear. We trust You. We are going to trust You through every avenue we go through life. We're going to trust You through everything that happens. We're going to keep perspective. We're going to remember your promises. And we're going to do what you've called us to do, remembering how you were faithful in the past and you'll be faithful in the future. Help us to not worry. Help us to not be fearful. Help us to be the children of God that always trust you with the outcome of every situation we are going to face in life. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.